Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda Pliagas with Realty411.com. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And today we have a very special host who is going to be leading the show. Michael Morangelio is with us. Now, you know him as the director and founder of BAWB, the Bay Area Wealth Builders. And today, he is going to be interviewing Robert Campbell, who has had a multifaceted 46-year real estate career. Take it away, Michael.
Yeah, thank you so much, Linda. And Bob, you're on with us, right?
I am.
Good. We're glad to have you here today. And again, look forward to having our little discussion here. And we're going to jump right into it. I know you have an upcoming event also. We'll talk to our listeners about it towards the end. Bob, right now, you know, I know you and I've known you for many years. You are a data guy. You make that very clear. You track certain key leading indicators that tell you about the real estate markets and market cycles. And share with us quickly some of those things that you're looking at on a regular basis.
Okay, that's it exactly well. For Mike and I have known each other for 18 years, and Mike knows that what I'm good at is not opinions. What I'm good at is financial probabilities. And everything I'm going to talk to you today, everything I do in real estate depends upon models and certain key statistics that I follow that help me to make high probability bets about future events. So, and it's all based on data. It's about 90% data, 10% instinct. So what I see right now, interestingly, the United States in general, the general real estate market is still steadily climbing upward. No problem there. All the market fundamentals, such as existing home sales, inventory of homes for sale on the market, loan foreclosures, new home building permits, which are all key indicators that I follow, are all pointing toward higher prices ahead. California, however, has more of a mixed picture. While prices in the state are still moving over, you know, moving higher, it's at a much lower rate than the rest of the nation, which is unusual in itself. And two key areas that are currently in distinctive downtrends are San Francisco City and Silicon Valley. Those are the two weakest markets in the United States, and I'm more sure about them. Well, I've gotten sell signals for them going down in the past 12 to 15 months, and that's where we are in California. Everything else is kind of just barely moving ahead.
Okay. So just to give a little synopsis of what you said here, and is that the general signals are pretty strong short term right now with most markets around the country. California, as you said, is a mixed picture, and in California, particularly in the immediate Bay Area, Santa Clara County, which includes the Silicon Valley area, of course, and the city of San Francisco, which have been very overheated markets the last several years, you see that those have pretty much reached their zenith or are near a top. Is that?
They've passed their peak.
Past their peak. Okay, cool. So
we've seen high prices for this up cycle. Now as the down cycle unfolds, the correction begins.
Right. And so there's a lot of external forces that, you know, everybody looks at in the market or can affect markets, sometimes short-term, sometimes long-term, many times creating fear. The big topic, of course, as we speak here today, is this so-called fear-mongering that seems to be going on with the COVID-19 or coronavirus. It's all over the press. It's all over the world being talked about, and it's obviously creeping into our economic system here. How do you see that affecting the real estate markets, will there be a dramatic effect in your forecasts?
The fear is accelerating right now, because of the coronavirus. However, that what I fear equally as much, if not more, is the fact that the 3 month, 10 year Treasury T-bill inversion occurred in May 2019. And that going back seven recessions, that has a 7% accurate track record for correctly predicting future recessions. So I do expect a recession. I do expect it in 2020, based on the historical timelines, how long it's taken before the signal is given and the actual event occurs. And I think the coronavirus will definitely accelerate that timetable.
So if anything, it's like throwing a little gasoline on the fire, so to speak, huh? To kind
of accelerate. Something was going to happen, but now it's going to happen a little faster, exactly.
A little
Mike.
Faster, and maybe a little more robust. There you go. And speaking of the 10-year T-bill rates, as we're speaking here at this point in time, this past week, for the first time, I believe, in history, the 10-year T-bill rates have actually dipped below paying a 1% return. So they are sub 1% right now for investors to tie up their money in treasuries. And that's unprecedented as well, isn't it?
Yep, record lows, all-time record lows. Just for accuracy, that those are 10-year Treasury notes. There's a 90
right.
anything under a year is a bill, and over that it's a note.
Okay.
So very very low. The Fed panicked and is cutting interest rates. We have a looming recession. We have coronavirus. How many more people do you think it's that discount rate cut of 50% is going to get is going to inspire them to go out and eat at a restaurant?
That's the big unknown here, is that if people stay at home and crawl under their sheets with their covers on, there's no doubt that that's going
to
create
recessionary
action.
But there's another side to that, too. The other side to that is how fragile is the U.S. economy right now based on loads of cheap debt. And the fact that if we get into a downturn, of course, that debt's going to be harder to service, and they got to get rates right down to zero to save as many companies and people as they can. You know, that's a definite fear. We're definitely in high risk times right now. And the coronavirus brought a lot of our sins. It put it right in front of our face. For example, like depending on China. For half of our manufacturing. Gee, that doesn't put our economy at risk. If China goes down, does it? Or says, we're not giving you anything anymore. I mean, sometimes, you know, when this next tide goes out, Mike, you're going to see who's swimming naked, as Warren Buffett likes to say.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think, as we said, this whole thing with the virus has been an accelerant to really maybe bring things forward a lot quicker.
I mean, you should always have 90 days. I went to the supermarket last night, and they were totally out of toilet paper and paper towels.
Incredible.
I mean, it's just this kind of thing that's why I think that everybody ought to have 90 days food and water and essential supplies at all times, regardless, just because you never know.
Yes, indeed. So talk a little bit with us again about the other big event that's coming up this year too, which is other than the fact that there's a gyrating stock market, which has been reacting to some of the things we're talking about here. Do you think that volatility is going to continue on also in the coming months?
Yeah, I do think it's going to. I do think it's coming on. Because we also have financial problems with this repo crisis that's going on. Things are finally coming to a head, Mike. 2020, 2021 are going to be real tough years, bad economic years, where all of a sudden that you're going to feel it. I mean, already they're talking about nobody ever goes broke because everybody gets bailed out, right? You think there's any negative consequences of just printing money and bailing everybody out all the time?
Absolutely not, and you're right. There's also the controversy of picking winners versus losers. Who does get bailed out versus who doesn't get bailed out?
I mean, but I'm just saying the whole thing that, you know, sometimes that you know, an economy that's been built on steroids doesn't have a long-term record of success.
So back to the real estate issues here, again, particularly for most of the listeners who are in the Golden State, because I know you and I talked a little bit as well about this prior to going on the air. Your outlook long term for the Golden State is not very favorable, then. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's not very favorable just because that's all of a sudden I had a dream last night. Or 20 years ago, or whenever. As you mentioned, and for people that don't know me, I'm 72 years old, and I was born on a building site. My dad was a builder developer for 55 years, so I've probably forgot more about the real estate market than most people know, and that's why I'm so confident about this stuff. Just go back and look at time cycles. Look at cycles for the California real estate, you know, and just take a chart. Take a chart, look at the prices for California real estate, adjust them for inflation to make the cycles more clear, put the chart about 5 feet in front of you, and if you can't see the cyclical, the pattern there, you have to be blind.
Now, you, Bob, I know have a class that's coming up soon. I think it's in La Jolla, if I recall. And why don't you share a little bit with our audience about what that's going to be about and where they can find more information on that?
Anybody that wants to find out anything about me, including that class, can go to realestatetiming.com. Realestatetiming.com. No dots, no dashes, no weird spellings, three easy words to spell, and you can find all about the book that I wrote, the newsletter I write, and my event in I put on two or three seminars a year, and the event I'm putting on in La Jolla, July 25th of this year. So
okay,
let's get back to more fun stuff, Mike.
Yeah, sure. And so
thank you for that, though. So anybody that wants to know about what I do,
we'll
like what they're hearing on this phone call,
yeah.
And maybe that
we'll
I'm the kind
that
of guy.
At the end
that,
also, sure.
In what?
So I said we'll repeat that as we wind down today. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I know some of what we're talking about is a real gut check for a lot of people. You know, people that are buying, trying to flip property, sell property, speculators. Is there anything in your mind that you see that perhaps could forestall the inevitable? The inevitable being that we may be very well in the first or second inning now of a correction mode, a recession. Do you see anything that could be done to forestall that?
Oh, there's uncertainty in every future event. Nobody can know for sure. But, I mean, I guess that you know what could happen? I mean, we could start flooding the markets with paper money, you know? I mean, already they're talking about bailouts. People are talking about giving people money, sending them a check, anything to stop the recession and that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, we could get into a situation where inflation goes to 20%. Will nominal real estate prices go down? No. They may even go up. So they may even go up 5% while inflation's 20%. Guess what? You just lost 15% of your money. That's what happened in the early 80s. You know, nominal real estate hardly went down at all because it was, you know, 13% of the rates, 13% of it was inflation per year. So most of it was that. So we could get into a period of high inflation. That happening, God help us. That's the worst thing that we have. Now we're on the road to Venezuela.
Yeah. Let's talk about one thing.
It's just the fact that, you know, nothing goes up forever, nothing goes down forever, Mike. I've learned
that
about being in real estate for 70 years. I know
that's
a fact.
Absolutely true. So let's talk just a little bit about your thoughts about interest rates, too, though, because obviously the Fed, people watch the Fed, people look at the Fed, people say that economic expansion usually doesn't die of old age. It's typically killed by the Fed. And there's
the
a lot
Fed
of talk
raising
about
rates, not dropping them.
Raising rates, that's right. And in this case, that's not the direction they're going. Do you think that the moves they've made thus far and what appears to be some coming moves where there's discussion that we could even go to a zero-rate market, that might forestall the inevitable or at least delay it for some time?
The Fed's at these levels of interest rates, the Fed's pushing on a string, Mike.
Okay.
It's not going to help. The inevitable is going to occur. The U.S. economy is going to go into a recession. What we don't know is how long it's going to last and how bad it's going to be.
Right. So what you're saying is they very well may be out of bullets they can fire soon.
Yeah, they can try. They can do a lot. I guess the only thing, they can start printing money and handing it out. I mean, yeah, that certainly forestalled things. I mean, housing prices may go up, 5% a year forever, while the rate of inflation is going up at 15% or ever. I mean, even at high valuations. So that's the only thing we don't know. And, you know, predicting when inflation is going to come back, that's a fool's game. I mean, what they taught me at UCLA and in my degree in economics is that the rate of inflation is directly correlated with the money supply, right? How's that worked out the last 10 years?
Yeah, no.
It hasn't worked out at all. They keep printing money like crazy, and we have no inflation. It's really hard to get to the truth. A lot of things. You have to be very humble about what can happen to things like this. I don't know, but sure, there's a lot of things that can happen. All I do, Mike, is this, and you know this. All I do is I follow key indicators. They're like headlights on a car. They let me see down the road quite a ways, but you can't see around the corner. So I'm always reacting to what the indicators are telling me, along with historical patterns, because the best way to determine the future is to study the past, and that's why I look at cycles, a lot of cycles, because, you know, human nature never changes. It goes from fear to greed to fear to greed to fear to greed, and that's what drives the markets and the cycles.
And I'm glad you brought that word fear up, because that's a big, powerful emotion that does provide a lot of psychological opportunities for people in the market, and obviously scares people too.
It's the most powerful emotion, Mike.
Yeah, and expand on that a little bit. Go ahead.
I mean, the markets are driven by fear and greed. If they think if the prices are going to be higher tomorrow than they are today, they buy. Let's call that greed, and it's pushed to greedy elevation. When people believe tomorrow's price will be less than today's price, they don't buy. It's because of fear of falling prices. Well, what fear does, it's human nature that can't be changed, and that's what causes the cycles. 70% of the movement of real estate prices, stock prices, gold prices, any asset prices, are driven by psychological factors, human nature. Most people don't realize that. It's all about fear and greed.
Absolutely. Yeah, that definitely has a big impact. You, as we started the program today, again, admit that you're a data guy, that you track certain trends and the indicators. And I know you also, and you and I have talked in the past a little bit about that, a lot of the data, though, a lot of the figures that the government publishes, you don't necessarily trust. And I'd like you to just expand a little bit on that, because recently, for instance, there's been a very strong employment data figure that came out. Of course, that was, I believe, for the month of February, excuse me. Who knows where it will be moving forward, but why is it that you may not necessarily want to take everything that the government publishes at heart?
Well, for one thing, because it's the government. And if anybody doesn't understand the meaning in that statement, they're too young and they're going to have to learn it on their own. And secondly, if those numbers weren't manipulated, which that I believe they are, like most intelligent people thinks they are, the fact that if job gains were that great, if income gains were that great, I would see it in one of my key indicators, or more than one of my key indicators. If that was the case, there'd be more people buying homes, which is increased demand. Existing home sales would be going up. New home building permits would be going up. Defaults would be going down. Foreclosures would be going down. So a whole host of fundamental things like you're talking about, Mike, one way or another are going to get quickly manifested in my indicators, so I don't have to follow those indicators. I only follow five key indicators. I mean, there's a couple I follow those, religiously, and there's maybe another, three or four or five that I follow casually because they have good track records, but they don't have as good track records as the top five.
And so all of these gyrations, the roller coaster ride going on Wall Street right now, which is obviously creating a lot of this fear that is permeating through the public, along with, of course, the COVID-19, the coronavirus fears, you pretty much stay out of that fray because you're tracking other indicators that you feel are more stable and more foretelling. Is that what you're telling our audience?
Exactly, and that's very well put. I mean, that you don't have to follow all these indicators because they're going to manifest themselves in more meaningful ways in other indicators that are completely tied to the price movement in real estate markets. So why follow them? But you did make something really interesting that you say the stock market, the fear of the stock market following the coronavirus fear. I'll tell you something,
yeah.
Mike. It's way, way more the coronavirus fear for the average American as opposed to stocks because you know what? The top 1% wealthiest people in the country own 50% of the stock market. You know who owns stocks? Rich guys. And rich guys are these guys here. I mean, so the little guy, he has a very modest, if any, portfolio of stocks like compared to the rich guys.
Yeah.
What the average American is more concerned about right now, I mean, even though he may watch the stock market, the biggest fear that's accelerating is coronavirus, and the stock market's reacting to that, of course, because they know what can happen. They know the global economy is going to slow down. It's not going to grow. I mean, things are shutting down right now. It's just a matter of how long this lasts that nobody can tell. But the fact that we have a looming recession on our hands, and the Fed is dropping the discount rate, massively later with unemployment at a 50-year low. I mean, what the heck? That's not supposed to happen. Usually unemployment is at a 50-year high before the Fed stops dropping rates. So you kind of wonder, what do these guys know that we don't?
Yeah, no, it's as we've been discussing here, you know, clearly a lot of uncertainty exists. I would only push back with you a little bit about your comment, though, that there are many individuals in the workforce that do have 401ks and obviously do feel some of that wealth effect that happens when the stock market does gyrate, you know, or go into these crazy cycles. But you're right, the average person isn't going to be affected.
I'm talking about the average person in the United States, not the average person in the Bay Market, Mike.
Yeah,
you know, those are
true.
Two distinct classes, financial classes, those people tend to be in.
Well, I know there's some folks that saw their 401ks go to 201ks back in the early 2000s, and so that wasn't a happy time for that.
But what I'm saying is that, yeah, where people tend to have higher net worths than, let's say, the average American that lives in the flyover states, right? Their homes aren't worth $1.5 million. You know, they don't have net worths of $5 million, and that tends to be that's not uncommon up in the Bay Area.
Absolutely true. So listen, we have touched on a lot of things here this morning, and I want to touch on one other thing to get your take on it as well, or a few other things, but we've talked about the stock market gyrations, we've talked about COVID-19, the coronavirus, we've touched a little bit about the Fed and interest rates and whether they may be out of bullets, we've talked about fear, we've talked about the indicators that you track with high regularity and accuracy that give you, like you said, a peek into the future, but one thing we didn't talk about, and I want to get your take on it for the benefit of those listening, is also oil. Oil's been in the news too lately and has plummeted in terms of price. And I know you're also a big gold follower as well. So why don't you share a little of your thoughts on those two classes, if you will, and will those movements and those markets also tie into the real estate space?
Well, let me say first off that I'm 100 times more qualified to talk about real estate markets than I am the oil market. I mean, oil's just a commodity that rises and falls, you know, via supply and demand. I mean, I assume it's supply and demand. I mean, but it's very, very volatile, as are all commodities. You know, the commodity markets right now, the commodity index for commodities in the United States, it's at like a 53-year low right now index. So commodities by their very nature are very volatile. And gold, of course, even though some people think it's a monetary metal, which I do, it's also a commodity. It trades as a commodity. It, too, is very volatile. So the, but I think gold is, I think gold's going to be the premier wealth investment over the course of the next 2 to 4 years by a wide margin. And that's not just based on guesswork. That's by studying cycles of the past and what I anticipating, you know, happening in the future. And I don't trade that, guys. I just have positions in it. I think this is a place for your money. I mean, is your place for your money right now in California real estate? No, too high risk. Is the place for your money right now gold? Yeah, compared to California real estate, much higher potential for reward relative to the risk. So that's where you put your money. You put your money where you're going to make the most in the future with the least amount of risk.
Absolutely, yeah. So now I know as we're kind of winding down here again, just for the audience, we've got a couple of events coming up. Myself, I'm hosting a Crush It with Real Estate 2020 event. For those listening, it's going to be on March 21st. It's a full-day workshop event. We cover a lot of ground about buying, selling, negotiating, marketing. We'll also touch on some of the things you can do in a market that is starting to slip and recede, ways to protect yourself or do business with a little more degree of safety. And of course, Bob, you mentioned earlier that you, for people that want to learn more about your book, your wonderful book, Real Estate Timing, and also your upcoming events, they can find that out by visiting your website. And why don't you repeat that website again?
The title is realestatetiming.com. Real, R-E-A-L, estate, E-S-T-A-T-E, timing, T-I-M-I-N-G.com.
And again, for
and
those
what I'm
going
to be this is the first time I put on this seminar. What I'm going to be sharing with people are, you know, the most important things I've learned about the markets and staying healthy and young looking in the last 50 years. I mean,
okay,
so not only about making money. The point I'm trying to make, everybody, is why I'm putting on this seminar. What's the point of being successful in the markets and then being in poor financial health. I mean, poor health. There is no reason. That's why they go hand in hand. So finally, I'm going to start talking about this. I'm probably equally as passionate about you know, real estate cycles. I mean, about staying healthy and fit as I am about real estate cycles.
And I know those that know you well know that is absolutely true. So for more information, go to realestatetiming.com. Also, regarding the Crush It 2020 with Real Estate class, those of you that want to get more information on that can go to www.bawb.info. Again, that's www.bawb.info. And on the left side, there's a little link about the workshop coming up. It is filling up rapidly, and we'd love to see people come to that on March 21st on Saturday. Bob, we have a couple of moments left here today. I'd like to get a final thought or two from you about, you know, maybe caution or what you think people, particularly in, let's say, California, should be looking at or doing maybe in the coming months to kind of assess where they are.
Okay, I mean, that's impossible to do in a short period of time.
Well,
here's the situation, guys. Here's the situation. If you're a wealthy individual in California, and let's say you're most people that are wealthier are older, near retirement. My advice to you is don't blow it. Don't lose it. That should be your motivating factor versus other people that might trying to be making money versus things like that. And the second thing is this, that would I be a buyer of California real estate right now? No. I'd be waiting for the best opportunity to buy. The easiest way to make a lot of money in real estate is buying when prices are low and depressed. They're not even close to that. But is that worth waiting, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years for that opportunity again? Absolutely, because you can make a boatload of money in a short period of time, you know, in 5 or 6 years with minimal risk. Those are the
right.
opportunities that
okay.
that most successful investors all should,
all very
be
very good
out.
Words to hear. All great words to hear. I'm going to give you my concise take on what you said, and that is keep your gunpowder dry and see where the markets may go, because it looks like there will be a lot of opportunity coming up around the corner. Bob, really a pleasure to chat with you today and have you on the air here. Really, I think quite a bit of stuff we covered, quite a bit of content, and thank you for being on with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Mike.
All right. Those of you that are listening today, you should go to realty411.com for more information about some of the upcoming events around the country, particularly in your neck of the woods. And also, they have wonderful content that is constantly being put out and generated. And we look forward to hearing you on one of the next episodes. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening.